You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Caroline Levitt. I am taking over for the great Grace Curley today. So you'll have me for the next 3 hours. It's great to be back with you on this Monday afternoon. We all have to live through another week in Joe Biden's America. When I fill in on Fridays, I say, congratulations, you've made it. Since it's Monday, I will say best of luck to you out there. A lot of news over the weekend that we have to get to. Of course, there's no shortage of news with this administration. The Biden border crisis, we're going to get to that in a minute. There were multiple shootings up in Manchester, New Hampshire this weekend. New Hampshire has always been one of the safest states in the country. We have a great Second Amendment culture, but the city of Manchester seeing a lot of problems, a lot of violence. WMUR, of course, leaning into the Democrats' argument of that we need more gun control. That's not the answer. No, we need to deter criminals from being in our streets, even right in our home, in our relatively safe state of New Hampshire. So we're going to get to that. We're always, as always, we'll talk about 2024. In the next hour, we have Corey Lewandowski joining us on the show, 1:30, to discuss Tim Scott gearing up to launch his campaign. Governor DeSantis was in Iowa this past weekend, and DeSantis's team attacking Trump. The attacks are heating up as DeSantis looks to announce his campaign in the next couple of weeks. The case against Penny, the United States Marine Corps officer who was involved in that situation on the subway with Jordan Neely, his GoFundMe page raising more than $2 million over the weekend. I want to talk about that story too. So much to discuss today, Jared, on this Monday to kick off the week. 844-500-4242. This is Caroline Levitt filling in for Grace Curley for the next 3 hours. And we have to start with the Biden border crisis because it did make a lot of news this weekend. And a lot's going on there. As you all know, Title 42 ended at the end of last week. And the Biden team had 18 months to prepare for the ending of Title 42. Then they did absolutely nothing to prepare for it. I believe that this invasion of our border by Biden's team, their open border policies, it's not ignorance, it's not incompetence, it is purposeful. They want millions of new people to come into this country because they need more voters. They've seen Hispanic Americans, African Americans trending away from the Democrat Party, voting for President Trump by historic margins in the past two election cycles. And so the Democrats, they need a new voting bloc to oppress and to rhetorically and mentally enslave, which is what they like to do. So they see this as an opportunity to do just that. Title 42 ends, and we have a litany of stories to talk about. Known terrorists being arrested coming over the border. We've seen veterans being kicked out of New York City hotel rooms. Americans who booked hotel rooms in New York for their wedding are being booted for these illegal aliens who Biden so desperately wants here to take for votes and to take our jobs. But of course, the Biden team didn't see it that way. Secretary Mayorkas actually was bragging about Joe Biden's handling of the border crisis. I'm going to let you listen to this scoundrel for himself. Jared, cut one.
From the southern border, what is the latest with regard to border crossings? And do you believe the surge has peaked?
Dana, over the past 2 days, the United States Border Patrol has experienced
a 50% drop in the number of encounters versus what we were experiencing earlier in the week before Title 42 ended at midnight on Thursday. It is still early. We are in day three. But, you know, we've been planning for this transition for months and months, and we've been executing on our plan, and we will continue to do so.
They've been planning for this for months and months. Planning for what? For more and more people to come here? For thousands of pounds?
That is false.
For millions of pounds of fentanyl to come over our border? It is false. Mayorkas then went on to say, it's extraordinary what we've done over the past 18 months or so. It's extraordinary what we've done. Yeah, you know what? It is extraordinary what you've done. Illegal entry has hit record highs this past week alone. So everything he is saying is false. Not only is it false, he's actually bragging about their border policies. Does he think people are stupid? Does he think that we can't see with our own eyes what's going on down there? The videos that we've seen over the past few weeks of a mass migration, caravans of people coming for the border because they know it's wide open. Some of the videos that disgust me the most, literally and figuratively speaking, are the videos of these of clothing, just like masses of mounts of clothing these people are leaving behind. These illegal people have no respect for our country, our laws. And by the way, where are all of Biden's environmentalists? Where are all the lobbying groups on K Street that care so much about our environment, our planet, and climate change and global warming?
How dare you!
In protecting the air and the water and the soil. Why aren't they down at the border picking up all the crap that's being left over by these illegal people? Stephen Miller put it the best. The guy's an expert on the border, and he always is very well spoken on it. And he said this has been their plan all along, to allow millions of people to come here for votes, to take our jobs. We have non-governmental organizations and agencies aiding and abetting these border policies by flying these people around the country and putting them up in American hotel rooms. This coming out of New York City. Hotels set to take New York City migrants abruptly cancels 30 rooms soon to be newlyweds booked for their guests. A Florida couple had their wedding upended after an Orange County hotel. That's Orange County outside of New York, not Orange County, California, although this probably is happening in California too. They abruptly canceled the rooms that they booked for their guests. The bride said, we felt discarded, disappointed, and angry that they just tossed us aside to make an extra dollar for the hotel to help people that aren't even citizens of our country. It's just not right. They said, we signed a contract. We had a legal contract to have these rooms. These migrants are being bused to hotels in Westchester and Hudson Valley as the city is already struggling to deal with the influx of immigrants pouring over the border. This is what you call America last. I mean, I am not married. I have a lot of friends who are getting married, who are planning weddings. I've been a bridesmaid many a times. Weddings are a lot of work. They cost a lot of money, and it's supposed to be the best day of your life. Can you imagine? You're like weeks away from your wedding. Your hotel rooms are booked. Your guests are flying in from around the country, and you are told that, sorry, we can't host you anymore because we're going to have these illegal people that are coming here leaving their crap. They don't even care about this country, and they're going to take your rooms. I mean, that is infuriating. But want to hear something that will piss you off even more? It's not just American citizens. It's our veterans, too. This also, of course, from the New York Post, because the New York Times certainly wouldn't pick up a story like this. Homeless vets are being booted from New York hotels to make room for migrants. Homeless veterans who served our country, defended our national security from invasions like this one, are now being expelled from their housing. Nearly two dozen struggling homeless veterans have been booted from upstate hotels to make room for migrants. The ex-military, including a 24-year-old man in desperate need of help after serving in Afghanistan, were told by the hotels at the beginning of the week that their temporary housing was getting pulled out from under them at the establishments that they'd had moved on to another spot. Another 15 veterans from the Crossroads Hotel in Newburg. And I noticed a trend when reading all of these stories. It is the same chain of hotels. It's the same large hospitality company that is kicking these people out to make room for these migrants. What I want to know is how much money is this hospitality company receiving from the Biden regime to do this? I looked it up. Choice Hotels, the CEO, Patrick Pacious, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is the CEO. He was appointed to that position back in 2017. And he's been very complimentary of the Biden regime's policies. He was outspoken about Biden's infrastructure bill. Remember that $1 trillion racket? I haven't seen many potholes or bridges being fixed since they passed that, Jared. Have you?
That was a climate investment, right?
Yeah, the climate's going to change because they took $1 trillion of our tax money. Yeah, no. No amount of money can fix the climate. But this guy, Patrick Pacious, who's the CEO of Choice Hotels, which is the hospitality company that is booting out homeless veterans and American citizens who are booking his hotel rooms for their weddings and for their housing. He's replacing our citizens, our fellow Americans, with illegal people. And I want to know how much money this guy is getting from the Biden regime. What favors is he getting for doing this? It's a good question. Maybe one we will know the answer to soon enough. But this is the epitome. What's happened this past weekend? The epitome of America last. An Afghan national on the FBI terror watch list was also nabbed trying to cross the border. The FBI, of course, had no comment on that. So much to get to. This is Caroline Levitt on The Grace Curley Show. We're going to take a quick break. 844-500-4242. I'm Caroline Levitt.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is Caroline Levitt taking over for Grace Curley today. We were just chatting about all of the illegal aliens who are pouring over our southern border to take our jobs, vote in our elections, and here in Massachusetts also get a license to drive, because we know you guys just passed that bill here. Unfortunately, New Hampshire is going in that direction, I fear, if we don't ensure we remain a Republican governed state in the next few years. We'll be right with you, offering up those driver's licenses for illegals everywhere. It's maddening and it's really infuriating. Also, this out of the border, which I want to get to before we take a call, 844-500-4242. I'm sure many of you feel as strongly as I do about illegal people coming into our nation and taking our jobs. Immigrants receive court dates up to 10 years after crossing the border illegally. Washington Examiner with this story this past weekend. They were down at the border interviewing dozens of migrants who just came over, just to get a sense of how long they will stay in the U.S. before an immigration court determines whether they should be removed. And these reporters noticed that some of the forms in which these illegals had in their hands from Customs and Border Patrol after being processed, their notices to appear in court are reaching as far into the future as 2033.
Don't they know the world's going to end by then?
Yeah.
It's not going to be here.
The planet's going to explode, according to the Biden team.
This is provable negligence in a court of law, I think, if they know for a fact that the world's going to be ending in 8 years and they push this date out.
The planet's going to explode. So why? Yeah, it's a valid point, Jared. 10 years? These people are not going to show up for court in 10 years. In a decade? I mean, I will be the very old age of 35. Maybe I'll still be sitting here filling in for the Grace Curley and Howie Carr show. 10 years away? These people aren't going to show up. But in the meantime, they will be registering to vote. That's what the Democrats are pushing, right? They want illegals to vote. They want illegals to drive. Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is already on it. She's already said She's calling on the administration to remove a 150-day waiting period for immigrants who say they have an asylum claim to obtain one as soon as possible so they can begin legally working in the country. As Stephen Miller put it, I cannot repeat this enough. Biden is paroling illegals directly into the U.S., increasingly at our ports of entry, and then partnering with NGOs to fly them to city of choice. They are being escorted into the country by Mayorkas and Biden. This has been the plan all along. Amen. 844-500-4242. Dave, you are live. This is Caroline Leavitt.
Hi, Caroline. You know, I have a real fear that the true motive is far more diabolical and sinister. I think they really want to have some kind of terrorist attack inside of our country because the terrorists want to come here. So you can bet they are here because they have the wherewithal, the means, and it's criminals doing business with criminals, okay? And also I'm worried about all those Afghani weapons that we left behind. Mm. I wonder if some of those have already made their way here. And that'll give the government an excuse to clamp down so hard it'll make the COVID shutdowns look like a picnic.
So
that is how they'll consolidate and retain power. That's how criminal they are, I think.
So, Dave, you're saying that you believe this is the Biden regime's goal, is to have a terror attack on the homeland.
Yeah, because they know they'll still survive. They'll be okay.
Right. Well, if they're
they live in their mansions, they got their walls, and they will consolidate their power, and they will retain their power. This will be Biden's 9/11. He'll find some place to try to prop him up on a hill to say, something stupid. You know? No, I am really fearful because this is world history repeating itself. I watched the thing last night on the Learning Channel. Okay, and it was a documentary about the Nazi propaganda machine. That's what it was all about, and it was amazing the parallels to what's going on in America today.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you brought up some great points about the threat of terrorists coming into the country, and I want to get to that. But first, we have a poll question, and today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, we have an interesting poll question today. It's a hot-button issue. What is it, and what are the results so far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is... Do you support legalization of marijuana? Yes, fully, only for medicinal reasons, or no?
Huh. I want to hear people's take on this. 844-500-4242. Do you support the legalization of marijuana? And the reason this is our poll question today, Jared, is because our governor in New Hampshire completely just flipped his position on it. For a long time, Sununu has said he doesn't support the legalization. But he has now said that it is now the time to legalize it, knowing the majority of residents support it. So what do our viewers think?
47% say only for medicinal purposes, 32% say no, and 21% fully support the legalization of marijuana.
21%. 21% of our listeners are stoners. The rest of them don't want it. So here's where I stand on this. In the past, I would have been inclined to say yes, but I think now that we've seen, and this is part of what I want to get into in the next hour of the show, is the mental health crisis that's plaguing America right now. As we see this rise of violence and crimes committed, we just had 4 shootings over the weekend in Manchester, New Hampshire. And I think the legalization of marijuana and the legalization of drugs across the board plays a big role in that. But what do you think? Participate in our poll question and call in 844-500-4242. I'm Caroline Leavitt.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
This is Caroline Leavitt taking over for Grace Curley today. Lines are blowing up. A lot of people want to talk about the Biden border crisis. 844-500-4242. Before we go to the lines, I have to talk about what our previous caller, Dave, brought up, which is that the Biden administration is either purposefully aiding and abetting terrorists, or they are absolutely complicit in these terrorists coming to our country. This past weekend, an Afghan national on the FBI terror list was nabbed trying to cross the border. He was busted crossing illegally with a big group of migrants last week. After the Afghan national was apprehended, a fingerprint scan revealed he was in the terrorist screening database, which triggered an investigation by the FBI. With more than 70 non-U.S. citizens on the FBI's terror watch list apprehended so far during this latest year, it will likely surpass last year's total arrests of 98 known terrorists that have come into our country. One would think this is the greatest threat facing we the people in our homeland right now. But of course, that's not what Biden thinks is the greatest threat to our country. He thinks it is, of course, you can probably guess it, white supremacy. If you missed Biden's speech over the weekend, don't worry, I have it for you. Jared, cut nine to this depressing, disgusting clip from Joe Biden.
To stand up against the poison of white supremacy, as I did my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. And I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say it wherever I go.
The feedback is also just pure Biden.
It's pure Biden. The feedback. His advanced team is absolutely
You're
terrible.
You're white, then you've been effing.
But the fact that he said, I'm not just saying this because I'm at an HBCU. Like, this guy is so pathetic. But this administration is so focused on the division, the racial division, the racial tension, pitting people here in our own country up against one another while we allow people who truly hate us, who hate America, who chant death to America, Iranian national television terrorists, Afghan terrorists coming in our border. If I wanted to destroy a country, this is how I would do it. I would pit my own people up against each other based on race. And then I would allow people who truly hate us to come in. And that's exactly what's happening right now. And it's not coincidental that hours after Biden said white supremacy is the most dangerous threat to our homeland and alleged, according to the mainstream press in this administration, that's why I say alleged, white supremacy group called the Patriot Front appeared in D.C. They were marching around Washington, D.C. on Saturday. If you guys haven't seen the videos of this, it's pretty laughable because it's quite evident that this is not an organized white supremacy group that truly wants to do harm. In my humble opinion, this is a hit job that's organized from the Biden team trying to stoke more division and distrust in our country. It's just a bunch of guys with masks on their faces, which is the dead giveaway, right, Jared? Marching around with shields, not doing much, just to show that white supremacy is a threat.
Yeah, I my first reaction upon this was I didn't know the Lincoln Project still had any money to do stuff like this.
Yeah, right, the Lincoln Project.
But yeah, it's ridiculous. I think these people marched through Boston last year at one point, too. But I mean, at this point, everything like this kind of feels like a Fed setup.
Right. You know, Kash Patel made a great point last week when he was on with Howie, and he said nothing in government is a coincidence. And it's not a coincidence that Biden made this speech saying white supremacy is the greatest threat to America. And then we have this alleged white supremacy group marching at the Capitol. I mean, it's just, we got to question everything. That's our duty. That's our First Amendment right to question it. And It was just an odd scene. If you haven't seen the videos of this Patriot Front group marching in D.C., I would suggest you look them up and come to your own conclusions. 844-500-4242. We have some callers wanting to talk, not about the border, but about our poll question, so it seems. Jeff, you're live. I'm Caroline Levitt.
Yes, hello. So my opinion is that if it's used for medical purposes, it's okay. But used for recreational purposes, we already got people who overuse alcohol and are dangerous on the streets. And if I recall right, if you overuse marijuana, if you smoke too much, you're also dangerous on the streets. And I just don't think we need another drug out there to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, Jeff, I think that's a fair point. And that's what a lot of folks that are against legalization of marijuana, that's the point they make, right? Is that we've actually seen some of the data coming out of Colorado since they legalized marijuana, traffic incidents and folks driving under the influence, car accidents, deaths on the road have increased significantly. We've also seen an increase of psychiatric and schizophrenic breaks of young men in America since the push for the legalization of marijuana has happened. I also think it contributes to the dumbing down of America, especially in young people. That's the fear, right? It's not 18 plus, just like alcohol. It's not 21 plus. It's, you know, drugs, any drug getting in the hands of our youth and harming them. And I think we've seen that firsthand. Phil, you are live. This is Caroline Levitt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that it should be legal. I don't think the government is in any position to tell me what I can do with my own body. I think to your point about like the things that you mentioned are very small statistics. Long story short, I don't want the government telling me what to do with my own body, right? Like I use it recreationally. It helps my anxiety. It helps me function.
Mm-hmm.
I think if somebody's lazy, I don't think it's cannabis. I think that's the person, right? Like I'm highly motivated. I work out all the time.
Right.
Like I'm an athlete. Like I use it all in the right way. I just think people should be able to choose. If I want to smoke weed, the government should not be telling me that I can't do that. We have alcohol. We have politicians who promote alcohol. And Sununu being one of them.
Yeah.
This is a guy who would promote alcohol, but for years he's been against recreational marijuana, and you know the money it generates is crazy. Like it generates so much money. But again, long story short, I just think people should be able to make their own decisions. I don't think the government should be. I'm more libertarian than conservative. I don't want them in my life at all in any capacity. If I want to get high till I pass out, I'm going to, you know, like I just don't want the government in my backyard. That's what it's about for me. It's about the control. It's about them, you know, it's about them controlling my life.
Yeah, Phil, it's a good point you bring up. And thank you for calling in and sharing that perspective. And I know a lot of people who feel the same way as you, right? They use it recreationally. They use it for medicinal purposes. They're still fully functioning human adults. The points I was making earlier about those statistics were more relative to our youth, those under 18. But I'm glad Phil brought up the point on alcohol, because just so people understand where this is going in New Hampshire, the governor has offered a path to legalize marijuana, similar to how our state runs our liquor stores, right? It was that old song, you know, the Empire State of Mind, New York State of Mind. Somebody did a version for New Hampshire. And one of the lines was, our liquor stores are right on the highway. We all know that. You drive up 93, you drive up 95, you're going up to Maine, you're going up to the lake. There's liquor store after liquor store. Our state does that purposefully to increase the sales. And it works, right? Liquor industry is one of our state's most profitable incomes, which is why we don't have to have an income tax or a sales tax yet. That could change soon. But that's what the governor is saying here. He says, knowing a majority of our residents support legalization, it's reasonable to assume change is inevitable. To ignore this reality would be short-sighted. That is why, with the right policy and framework in place, I stand ready to sign a legalization bill that puts the state of New Hampshire in the driver's seat, focusing on harm reduction, not profits. The Sununu is proposing that the state regulate recreational marijuana in the same way it controls the sale of wine and spirits. Sununu said that this path helps to keep substances away from kids by ensuring the state of New Hampshire retains control of marketing, sales, and distribution, eliminating any need for additional taxes. Sununu suggested that the goal could be accomplished this legislative session by amending a current bill. So that's interesting. He wants the state to control it so they can bring in some more money, which, hey, if you don't want to be taxed on your income or you don't want to be hit with a sales tax every time you go shopping, this is another way for the state to get that money. Jared, what are your thoughts?
I think it makes sense in New Hampshire from a tax perspective.
Right.
Because if somehow you keep the income tax at bay, like it's going on in like Massachusetts mm-hmm. and California, and they're still taxing people to the bejesus mm-hmm. just to get all the money they can.
Right.
But, and like, so it's like, okay, the legalized gambling in Massachusetts. Oh, it's going to generate so much money for the state.
Yeah,
we're going to
be able to cut back taxes.
So much. Why are my taxes not getting cut out
yeah,
then?
Exactly.
If you're doing this, why am I still paying what I was paying if you're getting more money?
Right.
But with New Hampshire, if there's a vested interest in keeping the income tax out of there,
right.
then in that case, it might make sense.
Where we actually do balance our budget.
Right.
Unlike down here in Massachusetts. It's an interesting subject, and there's a lot of good points on both sides. I think it's an inevitable where we're headed, but we'll see how the poll question shapes up today. This is Caroline Levitt filling in for Grace Curley, 844-500-4242. Stick with us. We got a lot to get to.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. The show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
I have a joke for you.
Okay.
The government in this town is excellent and uses your tax dollars efficiently.
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Not a joke.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Caroline Levitt on the Grace Curley Show on this kind of a gloomy Monday, I would say. It's warm. It's finally warming up. This was a long winter. Is it just me, Jared, or did it feel like it took forever to get some warm weather? April was a very rainy month.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks of rain before last week. Great for my my grass that I seeded, but terrible for mood.
Terrible. Definitely. Great for the grass, terrible for our mental health. Howie came back from Florida. I said, Howie, you definitely didn't bring the sunshine, because as soon as he came home, it rained for 2 weeks. Speaking of mental health, we're having a fun little debate today on the legalization of marijuana, and a story I think that has really highlighted the mental health crisis in America is this now widely reported story about Daniel Penny and Jordan Neely. And I think this story really emphasizes the mental health crisis we see in America. We had a guy, a criminal that had a rap sheet longer than both my arms put together. It's not saying that much. I'm only 5'3". I don't think my wingspan's very long, but it's like three Howie cars long is how long this rap sheet is. Arrested 42 times. And New York City's mental health system, New York City's law enforcement failed this guy. He should have never been on the subway in the first place, right? He should have been behind bars or in a state institution to treat him. A New York Post reporting today that Neely's death, in addition, of course, to sparking outrage and protests, has illuminated a glaring gap in New York law, which lets prosecutors offer treatment instead of prison to those suffering from mental illness, but grants authorities few tools to make sure they complete their assigned program. So he was in and out of the system. This is someone who shouldn't have been on the streets, and a good Samaritan, a United States veteran, Daniel Penny, was forced, really, to defend himself and everyone else on that subway from this mentally ill individual. And it's a sad situation all around. But Daniel Perry was being a good Samaritan. Now he's being charged with manslaughter. But like many Americans, I'm sure you don't agree with that. And a campaign to raise money for Daniel Penny's legal defense raised $2 million this past weekend. And his lawyers have said that the excess funds will go to mental health nonprofit organizations in New York. 844-500-4242. James, you are live. This is Caroline Levitt.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As usual, not every situation is black and white, and
right.
You know, it's complicated. But I just wanted to kind of weigh in on this, the idea of whether a drug should be legal or not. And, first of all, for alcohol, you look at what happened with Prohibition, which brought about organized crime. And so now, here we are with, organized crime and gangs. Anything that's illegal, they make money off of, and they bring a lot of crime and death in the process, and then innocent people get hurt in the process as well. And I have a friend that drank himself to death, so that's not a safe drug either.
Right.
The alcohol poisoning is a real thing. But even when you look at gambling, prostitution, certain drugs, I'm not saying it's the answer, but if you regulate these things and take them out of the hands of the organized crime and the gangs, there's a possible solution in there. I mean, I don't know.
So you're in favor of legalizing it, but regulations from the state to ensure it doesn't get out of hand. I mean, just to play devil's advocate with you, right? Like, that's what they did back in the Prohibition era, and it didn't work, right? Like, people still were opening bars, people were still drinking. So how far does the government go?
Well, during Prohibition, they made it illegal, and so
right.
Everyone kind of became a criminal.
Right.
And regular folks that just wanted to have a drink were suddenly dealing, in criminal activity. And so that's why the argument of making it legal, which they did with alcohol, obviously it hurts people, but that's personal decisions.
Right.
But innocents get caught up when it's illegal, then a lot of innocent people die as well. So I just feel like the idea of possibly legalizing a lot of these things, again, gambling, prostitution, women are harmed badly when it's in places where it's illegal. But in a place like Nevada where it's regulated, they're protected. So, again, I'm not saying it's the answer, but it's certainly something to consider.
Oh, for sure. No, you bring up some good points there. Thanks for calling in, James. 844-500-4242. Dave, go ahead.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I have been a marijuana smoker for almost 50 years now. And back in the day, you couldn't get weed that was more than 4 or 5% THC. Now it's so high that these younger people that are hitting it, they don't even know what's going on. It's
right.
So strong.
Right. Another argument for the regulation, especially with this open border drug crisis. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back.